It is good to see everyone on this November 19th. We are a week before Thanksgiving this coming Thursday. And so we're going to share a message today concerning our gratitude unto the good Lord. We just finished 4 weeks as we began looking at the vicious attacks upon the nation of Israel. And we followed the prophetic scriptures about the attacks that are going to be upon the nation of Israel and are going on right now, all the way up to the rapture of the church last Sunday. Please continue to pray for the nation of Israel and God's chosen nation, and for the protection of the innocents, and for the recoveries, and for the return of the hostages. Today, we look at a message I've entitled, Giving Thanks to the God Who Gives, and we're going to be in Psalm 139, beginning with verse 13. And I just want to say it again, we are going to focus today a message entitled, Giving Thanks to the God Who Gives and Gives and Gives and Gives. And so I can't say that enough, but I'm going to say it a lot. And we're going to kind of rifle shot this today and next week. And it is giving thanks to the God who gives us life. Giving thanks to the God who gives us life. And we're going to look at two Greek words. Today we're going to look at bios, and that's physical life. And all that God has given us in physical life. And people don't acknowledge it and they don't recognize it, and we need to. And then next week, good Lord willing, we'll look at the Zoe, the spiritual life, that you have been created in such a unique way, you can receive personal communication from God. And that's because He's given you this spirit that can receive from God. We'll be in John chapter 1, and in was life, and the life was the light of men, spiritual enlightenment. And then and you still have free will, those that chose to receive enlightenment and those that reject it from God. But today we focus on the physical. Psalm 139, verse 13 says this, You have possessed my reins, O Lord. You have covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully and extraordinarily made. Marvelous and amazing are thy works. And my soul knows that. I have meditated upon this, O Lord, David speaking. My substance, even as one cell, two cells, three cells, was not hid from thee. When I was made at the moment of conception, and curiously wrought within the womb. Your eyes did see my entire body, yet being unperfect, not full grown yet, no arms, no legs. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. And how precious are your thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. And when I awake, when I go to sleep, and when I awake, your presence and your preservation, your protection is always with me. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as I call on you today in this spirit of thanksgiving and gratitude, I just want to say we thank you, Lord Jesus. I am so blessed, Lord. May I stop and take time as I did last night beneath the most incredible winter sky and thought back over many times in my life, much of my life, in a spirit of thanksgiving. I thank you for all the people you brought into my life very early, friends and teachers and coaches and wonderful relationships and family members and all that I have been privileged to experience my entire life. And Father, we thank you for these things, for the love you have surrounded us with, your love directly and then your love through other folks' lives. We thank you, Lord, for health and strength, for the ability to see and hear and walk and stand. I thank you for the breath for the heartbeat. I thank you, Father, for a newborn babe in a father's arms. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for your provision in this life and in eternity. Lord, forgive me where I fail you. Cleanse me as I confess sin to you out loud, and cleanse me of what the psalmist even calls the filth. And I pray to be cleansed by your blood, anointed by your spirit. In your name we pray. Amen. Psalm 139 verse 13 says, "You have possessed my reins." In the Hebrew, that word is kilyah, K-I-L-Y-A-H. And it actually, specifically, Cameron, means kidneys. Is that not something? "You have possessed my kidneys," but in this context, it doesn't even really mean that. They use the word kidney to represent all your organs. They would use the word kidney to represent all your organs. "You possess my organs. You held my innards. You know, while I was yet in the womb, you have possessed my organs in the womb." And then he goes on to say that "I am fearfully made." Yare, Y-A-R-E, it means awe-inspiring, wonderful, amazing. Is that not incredible? It's amazing the way God makes us in the womb, is what the psalmist is saying. It is awe-inspiring. It is amazing. Marvelous. Marvelous is the next word the psalmist uses. Pala, P-A-L-A. It means the highest state of wonder. Marvelous. The highest state of wonder. To do something extraordinary or miraculous. That's not something. When God made you, he did something extraordinary and miraculous. My friend, if you're listening to me today on the website and you're not saved, I want you to know you are still incredibly invaluable. You are valuable unto God. We're not even getting to the spiritual today. You are made in God's image, and God did something extraordinarily when he made you in the womb. And then in verse 15 it says, "He saw us at the moment of conception," when we were in the womb. And all of this is the physical, and the physical is we don't have to travel home right now as much as we've done over the last 3 years. But between Columbia and Charleston on I-26, there are three billboards that someone has paid a lot of money to erect. And they're on these huge unipoles, and it's a picture of a newborn babe. And the newborn babe is being held by hands at about almost a 45 degree angle or so. And the newborn babe takes up the entire billboard, and it's beautiful. It's just beautiful. And the copy on the bottom simply says, "There is a God." How do you hold a baby and not say, "There is a God"? You know, how do you see a baby born and not say, "There is a God"? And so David, 2,500 years ago, is saying, "I saw you at conception. There is a God." And we are created and we are made by God. And that's why Darwinism and evolution takes away the value of life. And the reference point man has to God. And you have to take this giant leap of faith over the Grand Canyon to believe 5 billion years ago a worm crawled out of a swamp, and over billions and billions and billions of years he grew hair and teeth and arms and legs and got a voice. No, God took the clay and he made a man. And I know it and I believe it. I don't have to take a leap of faith. I can look at a male wood duck and know there's a God. I can look at a newborn babe and know there's a God. I can look at a sunset and know there is a God. And so the psalmist is praising God for my organs and all of these things. And then in verse 17, he says, "How precious." No, I'm sorry, 16. He says, "You saw my substance," my body, "yet unperfect, and in your book, all my members," my arms and my legs, that's what that means, were fashioned. As yet there was none of them yet, hadn't grown yet. And how precious are all your plans for me. So this book, when you look that up in the Hebrew, it's used most of the time in contexts that have to do with divine writing. You know, the great white judgment throne, the books are going to be open. Well, they're written by the divine hand of God. This is a correlation to that. The divine hand of God has written this book. And in this book was Jody, at the moment of conception, how she'd look, what God's plan was for her life, who He wanted her to marry, the children He wanted her to have, the will of God in His life. And I'm reading this and reading this and reading this. All that God has done for us physically, all that God has done for us planning out our life, and we're not even out of the womb yet. Is that not incredible? I mean, I could take the next month and thank God just for all He did for me while I was in the womb, Patsy. Is that not unbelievable? And so He knew how I would look physically. And so it's all these details, details, details. In Matthew 10:30, you don't have to turn there. I'm just going to quote it. Jesus says, the hair on your head is numbered. It's numbered. And so we look at what we would call minutia, okay? And, you know, is it that important that God knows how many hairs are on my head? And Miss Gloria, he had to create math because he has to keep subtracting in mind. So, but what I want you to understand is this. You know, you might think of it as minutia, but it's this devoted involvement in our lives, this devoted interest into every intimate detail of our life. Is that not astounding? And so we thank God for life. He is the God who has given us life, the personal God. All of this, our physical, our spiritual and emotional, we'll get to that maybe next week. But what, and all the plans that He has for us. You know, we just had two families. Well, this one started it, and then we've had two more with newborn babies. And we've got some that are going to have some babies coming into their life. And you know, we always pray for a healthy baby. And that's a tremendous thing to pray. But I want you to understand something I've always prayed, and I want to stress it to you again. There are three things you want to pray for a newborn. There are three things you want to pray for them when they're in the womb, and there are things you want to pray as they're growing up. But number one, pray for a healthy baby. Number two, pray for the day of this child's salvation. And number three, pray for God's will to be carried out in their life. Because it's in the book. He's written down. God's got a plan. And if you grew up in a family like that, thank God for the family that believed in God and believed in God's plan for your life. And those things were shared with you. And those things were stressed unto you because not everyone has that. And so we praise God. But He held our organs and He saw how we would look. But pray for that healthy child. Pray for the day of salvation and pray that they will enjoy and experience God's plan for their life. Go with me to the book of Job. J comes before P, so it's the first book before Psalms. The biblical alphabet. Job chapter 10 is where we're going. Job had this tremendous understanding also. And understand, these understandings came before MRIs and CAT scans and x-rays. And in Job chapter 10, verse 8, Job says this, "Thine hands have made me and fashioned me together round about." And he said, yeah, thou dost destroy me. You know, he's going through this rough time. He doesn't understand all these attacks that Satan has asked permission to unleash upon him. But my point today is verse 8a. Thine hands have made me and fashioned me together round about. Verse 9, remember, I beseech thee, that you have made me as clay. So there's the reference unto Adam and how he was made. But when you come down to verse 11, he says this, thou hast clothed me with skin and flesh, and you have fenced me with bones and sinews. I love that. That's the skeleton. He goes, you made this fence a skeleton, and then you put the skin on it and the flesh and the bones and then the sinews that connect the bones and the muscle to the bones. And they gained understanding through cadavers and seeing dead bodies and exploring these things, but they saw the fascination of how they were made. But notice what he says in verse 12, you are the one who has given me life and favor. You have granted me life and favor. And your visitation has preserved my spirit. Another word there would be your involvement. Your involvement in my life has preserved me. God not only made us, He's involved in our life. His thoughts are so many, we can't add them up. Your involvement in my life has saved me, preserved me, kept me from danger, got me through things. It has been your personal involvement as the personal God. So we build on this. The all-encompassing God, our skin, our bones, our organs, our arms, our legs, all of these things have been given to us by God. And so Job is making this acknowledgement. Go with me to Psalm 100, and look at what the scripture says. It's not only that He's made us physically, He's provided for us physically, He has protected us physically. There's going to be a time, I believe, He's going to show us some of the things He saved us from that we're not even aware of. And then we need to go back and realize some of the things He's done for us and in gratitude offer up our praise and thanksgiving unto Him. But God is the source, His activity in our life, His making of our lives, His protection, His plans. Psalm 100 says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye not that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. How many people don't give God a second thought? They go through life and don't give God a second thought. How many people, Cleo, You know why I have this voice today? Because God gave it to me. I've got vocal cords. I've got a voice. I've got a mouth that can speak out. And many people use the voice that God has given him to use His name in vain. To curse God. I heard someone last week say it several times. Several times. No acknowledgement. Look at what it says. It is God that made us and not we ourselves. How many people think, you know, and I'm going to pick on the men. How many men have you heard say, you know, I am a self-made man. You know, I'm a success. I'm a self-made man. I'm a tough person. You know, I grew up hard. I had a hard life and I went through this and I've survived and I am a self-made man. There is no such thing. God gives you breath, He can take it away immediately. And so Job is acknowledging that life is such a precious blessing from God. The psalmist is acknowledging. And notice what he says. It is God that made us and not we ourselves. We belong to Him. We're the sheep of His pasture. Now what does that mean, brother? That's His provision. He not only makes us, He provides for us and takes care of us. And I'm not even talking about Jesus coming and dying for our sins. Just based on what I'm telling you today, I want to give back unto God. I want to give unto God. I want to serve God. I want to bow down before my Maker. In Romans 1, they say the culture worships the creature, the human, you know, instead of the Creator. And so he says, "For the Lord is good, and His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations." So everything I have physically, I've been given by God. You know, we've got our families here today. I got a text Friday that my little buddy Turner in Charleston, who I played ball with his grandparents, 12 years old, he's got his feeding tube infected again. You know, had cancer tumor removed from his brain, cried. I got a picture of him with a school class there in Berkeley County, South Carolina. A bunch of big old guys, big black guys that are going to play for Berkeley High School one day, and a few white guys, and it just, I said, "Patty, is this not the low country?" And she said, "Yeah." And I said, "Our kids that are going to West Ashley Middle School, they're going to be knocking heads with those kids one day in high school." And the whole thing, you know, you look, but they're praying he'll be home for Thanksgiving. You know, we're blessed. I am so blessed. Well, Brother Leo, should I feel bad? No, but you ought to pray for those that aren't as blessed as you are right now. Lift them up. And so I'll show you another one. Go to Psalm 95. Psalm 95. Psalm 95, verse 1, he says again, "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all the gods." Verse 6, "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down and let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." God, I want to thank you for giving me life, for giving me the spouse I have, the family I have, the parents I have, the children, the grandchildren, the joy, as Lehman sang, the roof over my head, the shoes on my feet. We have countless folks praying for the return of their loved ones who have been kidnapped, and we dwell carelessly in the eye. Gratitude is expressed in compassion and empathy and sympathy for others, in prayer for others. And we're to remember those things. And look at what he says, verse 7, "For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand." Here he goes again. "I'm thanking you, Lord, not only for making me and putting me on this earth and bringing me out of the womb, but for providing for me every step of the way from the point of conception." And the psalmist says, "He will be my guide even unto death and then into eternal life." There's not a moment the good shepherd is not trying to tend to you and take care of you. But now we've got free will to not follow him to the green pastures and the still waters. The devil will deceive us to jump the fence and go in another direction. But we bow down. Is that not beautiful? Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. I want to close out today in the book of Acts. Go with me to Acts chapter 17. This is, I believe, some of the most phenomenal writing or teaching that Paul did, and I love it. And in Acts chapter 17, he's in Athens, and they've got all the idol altars set up throughout the city and all the idols that are set up throughout the city. And I'm going to share with you a point from C.S. Lewis about our lives. But in Acts 17, verse 23, Paul says, in 22, you men of Athens, so he's speaking to them. In verse 23, he said, I passed by and beheld your devotions. I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. And so they wanted to cover all their bases, and they figured, well, you know, we worship the sun god, we worship the moon god, we worship Baal, Moloch, Ashtoreth, Semiramis, Tammuz, you know, whatever. They had them all lined up. The god of the cults. They had a god, Diana, also served as the god to the silversmiths and, you know, those kinds of things to bless their businesses, supposedly, or they thought. He says, whom therefore you ignorantly worship him, I declare unto you, this God, verse 24, is the God that made the world and all things in it. Seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, he doesn't dwell in a box or a temple made with hands. Neither is he worshipped with men's hands, like you're going to carve something, that as though he needed anything. Sees he gives to every man all life and breath and all things. He gives to all life and breath and all things. And he goes on to say in verse 28, for in him we live and move and have our being. In him we live and move and have our being. In him we exist. I exist today because of God. Paulus, look back over your life. I mean, you see the hand of God. You know, born from the moment you were born, just like now Colton. One day some preacher may look at him and say, you know, look back over your life, Colton. See the hand of God from the moment you were born. It's incredible. But notice what he says. He says, in him we exist. It is God who made us. Verse 24, he made all things. He does not dwell in temples. He has given us, in verse 25, everything we need for life and breath. And in him, verse 28, we live and we move our arms and we have our thoughts. You know, all things have been given. God gives us life and breath and all things. Our faculties, our abilities, our senses, our thoughts, our emotions. All of these things given to us by God. This is Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis. And he says, every man has to come to this discovery. And it's this. Every faculty you have, your power of thinking, or of moving your arms and legs from moment to moment, is given to you by God. If you devoted every moment of your entire life exclusively to serving God, you cannot give back to him anything that was not already his that he gave to you in the first place. Anytime I hear a man talk of doing something for God or giving anything to God, he better understand you are simply using something or doing something with what he originally gave to you. It's all his. You are all his, and everything you do is because of him. He is the source of you, the entire you. You ever heard some boy, that fella, he's done a lot for God? Well, let me tell you something about that fella. God's done infinitely more for him. And anything he's doing for God, God's the one that gave it to him in the first place. The God who gives and gives and gives. The God who has given us life. So, Brother Leo, and this is in quotes. I wrote this to myself. So, Brother Lee, are you telling me that every time I take a step, breathe a breath, have a thought, speak a word, hear a bird sing, hug my grandchild, eat a meal, I need to stop and thank the God who is the source of all this goodness and blessing in my life? Are you telling me every time I take a step, every time I breathe a breath, every time I hug my grandchild, I need to stop and thank God? No. But I'm telling you, every once in a while, you ought to stop. You ought to look around, you ought to look at your life, and you ought to thank God for His blessing, for His mercy, for His patience. Cleo shared with me a few weeks ago, going out on a Sunday morning, he said, "Man, I get to lay down at night now. Put my head on a pillow. And when I roll over at night while I'm asleep, I don't wake up in excruciating pain. And I thank God. I thank God. I get to sit down this Thursday with my son and daughter-in-law in Nashville, and I get to eat a meal. I'm not on a feeding tube. I've been on a feeding tube. I was on a feeding tube 4 or 5 months, ended up with a blood clot in the jugular. Couldn't eat anything. And so Cleo and I discussed, you know, it's a shame that it takes losing something to appreciate what you have. But man, praise God, if you can learn that lesson, Cleo, to never lay down again without saying, "Thank you, Jesus, I'm not hurting." To ever sit down and eat a meal with a fork and a spoon and say, "Thank you, Jesus. All things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to His purpose." And to be able to live that out. So I'm not telling you every time you hear a bird sing, you know, you need to stop and thank the good Lord that you can hear. But I will tell you this. My daddy lived his life to the fullest. But in the last year of his life, he couldn't see, he couldn't hear, he couldn't move without falling, and he couldn't remember things, and at times he couldn't even remember my name. And I want you to understand that we need not take for granted the blessings God has given us. I'm certainly not going to use this mind to think evil or hateful thoughts. I'm certainly not going to use this tongue to take my Lord's name in vain. I'm certainly not going to live this life and never give the God who saw me at the moment of conception and has provided ever since and not give Him a second thought. Giving thanks to the God who gives us life. I want to close out with Psalm 26 and 2 verses. In Psalm 26, verse 3, the scripture says this. David's talking about his life. And he's saying, "In the past, your loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth." That's another word, I think, for blessing. Your loving kindness. I'm seeing right now, Lord, all the loving kindness you have extended to me in my life. I'm recalling to my before my eyes what I've seen and experienced in my life. I want to thank you, Lord, that I've experienced this and seen this in my life. And then he goes on to say in verse 7, "that I may proclaim with my voice thanksgiving and tell others about all the wonderful things you've done in my life. Now, the only way you can get to verse 7, you've got to be in verse 3. You've got to stop and think back on all the wonderful things God has done for you. And then offer up thanksgiving unto Him. And then speak out to others how wonderful God's been to you. And glorify His name. You know, if someone were to ask me, how does somebody get saved? You know, we grew up learning the Roman road. You know, all sin and come short of the glory of God. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ His Son. I mean, I can do all that. We went through CWT in the Southern Baptist Convention back in the 90s as I was traveling all over the Southeast preaching, "Good News America, God loves you." If you were to die tonight, do you know without a doubt where you would spend eternity? That's the first question. We're Baptists, we're asking people that in restaurants and workplaces. But you know how I think folks can come to Jesus? When they hear folks like me and you telling them how wonderful God's been to us. The psalmist said, "I will tell folks of how when I think on your loving kindness in my life, and then I'm going to proclaim, publish." That word in the King James does mean publish, like you publish it out publicly. I will publish the wonderful things you've done for me in my life. With the voice of thanksgiving. Psalm 26 says. Man, we're not even out of the womb yet. Next week we get to what is even more fabulous than this. The Zoe that you're born with. The capability of receiving direct communication and revelation as an individual from the one who made you in the womb. The creator of the universe. The God who gives us spiritual life. Next week. Let's take a few moments. If you bow your head and close your eyes. And would you ask the Lord for a few moments to remind you of the loving kindness that He has shown you in your life. And offer up. Maybe this week you'll have time to go all the way back as far as you can remember. And think of some blessings way back when that you may have forgotten about. And offer up some thanksgiving unto Jesus.